Phil Henry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're very happy to be with you here on this offering that we call the presentation where truth is our bitch.
Yeah, it's the truth is our bitch.
A news, talk, and entertainment show.
Well, we don't use that anymore.
Oh.
We don't use that anymore. It's just too much. It's just truth is our bitch, and we launch from all points, north, south, east, and west, from that vantage point, truth being our bitch. Now, to get out of the way what I was just talking with my close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, about, if I had hair on top of my head...
You'd wear a mohawk.
I'd wear a mohawk, yes.
Why?
I just would wear a mohawk. I mean, if I had it to do over again, all the years that I had hair, and you know, that was the first 30 years of my life, let's say, I had it long. I had it in the style of the day, which was in the 70s. It was long. Lots of beards, lots of mustaches, lots of mutton chop sideburns. I had all that stuff, and I had the pretty long hair. But if I was taken back to those times, I think I would have shaved it right into a mohawk.
And you would have looked like Robert, I should say Bobby De Niro, because those of us that have, I don't want to sound as if I'm being too snooty, but because I do know him, so you'd look like Bobby De Niro.
Okay, let's get back to, because you know...
No, Phil, just move off of that, please.
No. You took the time to Bobby De Niro.
Yeah, you think you're all knowing everybody.
Well, I do. Unlike you, bud, you don't know anyone. You don't know anyone other than the occasional night watchman of the place that you're breaking into on any given night.
I don't break into nothing.
Hold on for a minute. Bobby De Niro, huh?
Yeah, I've heard that, Bobby De Niro. What's that about?
I just got done telling you. Don't make an issue out of it, Phil. Bobby De Niro, you know, wore that, and I think Bobby wore that in The Deer Driver, or...
Yeah, you talk about the taxi hunter.
Taxi Driver? Are you people serious?
What are you... Who's you people? That is very racist.
You're white.
I feel black, though, when you say that.
No, Ms. Gray, that's about black people.
Now, hold on for a minute. When you look at me and you say you people, I feel darker. I feel darker, and I feel indicted... I feel as if I'm a member of the indicted group. I'd like you to take that back, please.
What?
I'd like you to take that back, or I'm getting my husband on the phone.
Oh, take it easy. I'm not taking anything back. When I said you people, it had nothing to do with race. I just said you people there in the media, you people who are rich, you people, Bobby De Niro.
Bobby De Niro wore a mohawk in The Deer Driver, or whatever the GD movie is called.
It's called The Deer Hunter.
All right, The Deer Hunter, then.
The Deer Driver?
Yeah, I'm going without The Deer Driver.
Well, what's The Deer Driver?
There is no Deer Driver. The movie he was in was The Deer Hunter. He was in Taxi Driver. He was in Deer Driver, and he was in Taxi Hunter. He was in Hunter. No, that was Fred Dreyer.
That was Bobby De Dreyer.
Bobby De Dreyer, you... Why, you drooling idiot.
Hey, watch it.
I'll kill it.
Yeah, you can't reach over that far.
Margaret, you can't have a violent reaction to him every time. Otherwise, I'm going to have to...
You're going to have to what?
Well, nothing. I mean, I don't want to... If you ever do hit him and it becomes an issue, we're going to have somebody arrested or sued, okay? Quit lashing out at each other, if you don't mind.
He's not the one doing it to me.
Because I've got to listen to you say Deer Driver? You better believe it.
You're the one that said Deer Driver.
I took my cue from that.
Well...
All right. In the future, if you don't have it right... Then don't necessarily copy what the other... Deer Driver, this has got to be the only radio show in the world, that's going to screw up the name of that movie. That happens to be, by the way, one of my favorite movies.
Which one?
Taxi Hunter.
Which one? Yeah, there you go. Which one is it, Phil? Come on.
Wait.
Taxi Hunter.
No, Deer Hunter. Deer Hunter. I love that movie. It's a movie of such bittersweet resonance. It makes me cry. It makes me laugh. It's an amazing movie. I love the film. It does have a decidedly sort of very extremely depressing take on that period of time, which was the Vietnam War. But nonetheless, it was for a great many people depressing. It was a depressing war. So nonetheless, I've made that statement, and I'm sticking to it. All right, welcome to the program, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And if you join us for our pre-show, you can join us for the audio portion of our pre-show now, We do a 45-minute uncensored pre-show on Phil TV, but you can also listen to the audio for free. You don't have to have a backstage pass. Temporarily, for the next few shows, we're going to be rolling the audio portion of our pre-show on philhenryradio.com, philhenryradio.com. It's available only on your desktop. We are hoping in very, very short order to make Phil Henry Radio mobile, and so it'll be just like flipping a radio on. You know, you got your smartphone or whatever, and you're out and about, and bang, throw that sucker up onto philhenryradio.com, and we will have a variety of programming available. That's got nothing whatsoever to do, by the way, with what our plans will be following the 24th of June. That is the last show we do for Talk Radio Network. We have, we've got all kinds of options we're exploring, including absolutely remaining terrestrial. The reality of terrestrial radio these days, though, folks, is that it is more of a promotional arm than it is the actual dog that is wagging the tail. The tail that's wagging the dog these days is digital and these various online entities such as podcasting. So we don't want to eliminate any option we have. We are very definitely looking at terrestrial opportunities, our digital opportunity, and there's a lot of other stuff that we're doing that that I think I kind of...
Well, what is the animation project again?
Yeah, we've got an animation project that we are shopping, myself and my partner Angela Frame, who is a great, great gal and does a lot of work. In fact, she's doing most of the work. In fact, she's an artist, and she's done a lot of the mock-ups, and all I do is just sit there and go, and another thing, blah, 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 and then that's it.
Yeah, in fact, the guy from Scott Trade.
Oh, I met that guy. That guy's a riot, man.
Who's that?
The guy from the Scott Trade commercials. Have you ever seen the guy? He's in the limousine, and he goes, what about all the fun we've had? The fun. You know, he plays a real smarmy guy.
Oh, those are the guys at the they're having drinks, and he says, uh-oh, the office is calling?
Yes, yeah. He's supposed to be playing your typical trader that you've been dealing with, who really doesn't do any work. He's taking advantage of you. He's taking advantage of your friendship and your good nature, and he's just sitting on his ass doing nothing. And now comes the Scott Trade guy, and the customer you thought you had, well, now that guy's dealing with Scott Trade. And this dude that I met, Brian, I think is his name, and I don't know his last name, I was excited to meet this guy. I mean, it's not often that I get excited about a TV commercial. But every now and again, a TV commercial comes on. I go, God, that's funny. I mean, that's making me laugh, and I wanna see it again. And this Scott Trade commercial was that. And here's this dude standing there at Starburn, which is a studio over in Burbank. And I said, I got to tell you don't know who I, you know, I introduced myself. I just want you to know I'm a big fan, and I don't know your name. He said, oh, I'm Brian. I said, I love you in that commercial, and I look forward to it, and I laughed my ass off. And I don't know what else to tell you other than, you know, I love you.
You didn't tell him you love him.
No, I didn't. But he's a very nice guy, and for me, that's an exciting moment.
So of all the people you could meet, the guy that does the Scott... Oh, God.
Yeah, Margaret, you know.
Well, I suppose it did his ego some good, but there are so many other...
Well, you know something, Ms. Gray? Some people just... Not everybody's going to introduce a movie star.
I'm sorry, Robert. I didn't hear you. You're, well...
His what?
His lips are a little...
You said my lips are too thick?
No, they're dry.
So I'm not the only racist out here.
Hey, you gotta watch the way you say that.
Margaret, that borders on racism.
I said they were dry. Dry. Take a sip of water, dear.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dry. All right, we're gonna be back here. A couple of stories that have jumped right out of the headlines and have grabbed us around the throat and have constricted our ability to breathe, and we better either report on them or they're going to kill us. Suddenly I'm reporting on the news as if it's you know, something living inside the wall, but a lot of it is. This is a story about Megyn Kelly and Greta Van Susteren telling Lou Dobbs, and I guess it's the other guy, what's the cat, Neil Cavuto, telling both of those guys to pound it up left sideways until they get blood for some comments that they made. There's also a suspension of capital punishment in the state of California, which is a real shame, because I was hoping that they were going to make the announcement on televising those things. And of course, I'm kidding.
It wasn't very funny either.
No, it wasn't. And a woman has sued after allegedly contracting herpes from a Rihanna-endorsed lipstick. What does Rihanna endorsing the lipstick have to do with a woman's herpes or alleged herpes? Nothing at all, but it's the grabber, it's the eye grabber in the headline that gets you to read the story. And once you read the story, you'll realize that it's real different. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're very happy to be with you here on this Friday night slash Saturday morning. And we do have on the line with us, R.C. Collins is going to join us from where is he at?
Bradley Military.
Oh, Bradley Military Academy. I keep thinking of Belmar. Bradley Military Academy in Alhambra, California. We're going to be talking about what appears to some people to be a, and I'm not kidding you folks, and I have the picture up on Phil TV right now. Look at that red circle, and for those of you who don't have Phil TV, what I'm showing is a picture inside of a red circle is a Mars rodent. A Mars rodent. R.C. Collins is a Bradley Military Academy cadet. R.C., how you doing?
I'm doing real good, Mr. Henry, and I can tell a little bit of the skepticism that you will have on this, you know.
Well, I do not only have a little bit of skepticism, I have a whole lot of skepticism. And you can well imagine why. How is it that a rodent can live on a planet that has no oxygen?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, I think that's probably the most easily answered of the things that people would ask. And that's on account of the rodent that, and it appears to be a rodent. It could be any kind of a life form that you might imagine. But the rodent type of shape that we're looking at in this photograph could very well be some kind of a life form, carbon-based, that does not breathe oxygen so much as it may breathe one of the other primary gases that are on the planet of Mars. My friend, one of my classmates and a cadet here at Bradley, Cadet Watson, was looking at this photograph, and Watson had made the remark that it could be some form of a super rodent, or I know it sounds a little silly, but a larger rodent, a rodent of magnificence, you know. And here is
a rodent of what?
Well, here's Watson. What'd you call it, Watson?
I call it like a magnificent rodent.
A magnificent rodent.
What does that mean? A magnificent rodent?
Mr. Henry, it's an old term, used classical French term. Then they talk about the largest or a large size animal, and the magnificence of it is what they're talking about.
He's a little bit nervous.
That's okay.
And I use just the classical French description of it.
Why do you guys think this is a real rodent?
You can look at it. There's an old saying: if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it crawls through the weeds, not that.
Well, that'd make it half snake and half duck.
What?
That'd make it half. What he's saying, Mr. Henry, is if it crawls through the weeds and it has webbed feet. Well, no.
No, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Yeah, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's gonna be duck. And if you look at this rodent.
I'm looking at this picture, and it does not look like anything other than a couple of rocks that could, yes, very well be taken as a rodent or some maybe furry creature. But, you really got to stretch it to think that.
I don't think so. If you look very carefully, and we have blown this up to about 20 times the normal size of what a Mars rodent would be, I don't even know what a Mars rodent would be. Do you, Watson?
If we're talking about a magnificent Mars rodent, it would be at least two, three times larger.
Why would it be three times larger? Isn't the gravity on Mars, I guess gravity on Mars is not as much as Earth, huh?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I'm thinking that things grow bigger on planets where there is less gravity.
That makes sense, yeah.
We didn't think about that, but it does make sense.
You look at a Mars rodent. What I call the roving rodent, it looks like it could be good size and could be very formidable for any Mars crew that lands there.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, all I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is once we land a manned mission and you have the rover rodent comes up on you, and of course you have to be careful, because if you land within this rock range, you're looking at some lava rock right there, Mr. Henry, that looks very formidable. You could get a roving rodent.
You guys have already named this thing?
Well, I mean, Watson did. We were using the term magnificence, but roving rodent seemed to make more sense to a lot of the students here.
Is that because of the Mars rover?
Yeah, I understand that, but roving rodent doesn't do a thing for me.
Well, I mean, you know, it does for the students.
But it's...
So you know, by... I don't want to say it, but you lose, you know.
You lose that vote, Mr. Henry, that the students at Bradley, but I know what you mean.
Okay, fine. So roving rodent, and this rodent is able to hide behind the lava rock. Is that it?
Well, the lava rock and this range of rock that you're looking at, the picture that we have, you can see there's black rabbit rock behind it. The reason why I call it rabbit rock is because it's lava rock, but I mispronounced it once as rabbit. And then I looked at one of the rocks. It looks like there might be a giant black rabbit that lives there, too. So you've got this rover rodent and a black rabbit rock. And
I mean, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We don't want to confuse Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Guys, you know, you're beginning to sound like maybe you came up with this when you were having maybe a few beers.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because when you're talking about black rabbit rock...
I didn't say that. I said it was black lava rock, and we just nicknamed it the black rabbit rock.
Yeah, because one of the rocks looks like a rabbit, but it ain't a real rabbit. Gee.
Okay, well, all right. I didn't know. I mean, you're talking about a rodent.
Yeah, we're talking about the rover rodent.
Well, Mr. Henry, if you know Rover, Rover, Let Billy Come Over, do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's what we're talking about.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Let me... hello, boys. This is Margaret Gray.
Hi, Miss Gray.
Yes. What are you trying to say? Are we supposed to launch a mission to go get this rodent? Are we going to listen to the two of you knuckleheads?
Well, Miss Gray, all I'm trying to say is Rover... You know, let Billy Come Over was the original. And then we say there's a rover rodent. Why not let it come over, too?
That's all we're trying to say.
Well, the only way that the rodent's going to come over if...
We got to send a mission up there to get it?
No, that would be a waste of money. What we are asking, for a limited time only, give credulity to the idea that there may be one there.
Look, we had the face on Mars. I'll never forget the longest time every checkout stand had the tabloid with the face on Mars. This went on for years, years and years and years, until finally we had the proper satellite photographic technology to snap pictures of this thing. It was not a face on Mars. It didn't even resemble anything close to a face when they finally did get close enough to look at it. It was a regular rock formation or a mountain formation that happened to look like a face. But, you know, we are so... this society, we are so ready to introject or project onto things these mysteries. It just blows me away. And
if you look at that right there, you tell me that doesn't look like Rover Rodent?
Who's Rover Rodent?
I'm sorry, but I didn't mean that.
That's the name that we wanted to give it, but...
Well, that's fine. Who's Rover Rodent?
No, it's not. Does it look like a rodent?
No, it does not.
It doesn't look like a rodent. You're prepared to affix your name to that.
What?
Are you prepared to make a statement that that don't look like a rodent?
I just made the statement. It doesn't look like a rodent. No.
And you're prepared to go and you'd swear?
No, I'm not going to swear on anything. I'm not going to sign anything. I'm telling you that it doesn't look like a rodent. Now, you guys can go out there into internet land and say all you want. You're not going to get anybody to believe it. I believe, this is my own personal belief, I think that a lot of these things take off because we have the ability to communicate all kinds of information to people. We have the ability to communicate all kinds of news, all kinds of rumor, all kinds of fact. And that's what we do in this society. So, you know, a lot of truth comes out and a lot of horse dung gets thrown around as well. And in that pipeline that feeds information by way of the internet, everything is treated equally. Everything is treated equally. So news of a coup in Africa or perhaps a spike in oil prices, that is treated equally, or at least it is given equal play with some jackass who thinks he sees a rodent on the surface of Mars. And that's what gives this stuff credibility that it shouldn't have. Okay, guys?
Yeah, okay, Mr.
You just kind of blew us right out of Do we get our last word?
No, he's not going to give us the last word. I mean, all you did was just, you know, just shut us down. Well, I would like to say I think you're wrong, and you'll be proved it wrong.
Okay, thank you very much. That's R.C. Collins with Cadet Watson from Bradley Military Academy on the so-called Rover Rodent. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Without a backstage pass to philhenryshow.com, you're just letting the best of life pass you by because we have 5,000 hours of archived radio shows there going back over 15 years. Some of the greatest radio in the history of the planet Earth, if I do say so myself. And it's there for yours, for your perusal and your downloading as well at philhenryshow.com. Yes, you may download that and you may listen to it to your heart's content. And it's there at our website, as well as our videocast archive, as well as our webisodes of a variety of different bits that we've animated, as well as the Milwaukee Lion archives and podcasts of the famed Dickman America Milwaukee Lion football team.
God, Dickman America.
That's the name of the league now, man. They changed it from the Hillbilly Jackass League, whatever it was. And a new season is upon us, man.
Oh, my God. Is that Jack Eigagder?
Yes, Jack is going to be back along with Brett Morrison for the 2013 campaign. The very first season last year, the L.A. Tan won the Dickman Bowl 13-9 over the Utah Flaming Cavalry. So,
are you nuts?
I ain't nuts. So this Mars rock that bears a passing resemblance to a rodent is causing this internet this ridiculous internet sensation. And I think it's probably just fueled by a variety of jackballs, you know, who like to keep that kind of stuff fueled. All right. Now, the other story that I think is far more interesting than a Martian rodent, way more interesting, in my opinion, is the fact that some woman is claiming she got herpes from a Rihanna-endorsed lipstick. Now, before we start, you know...
Can I see that film, sir?
Yes, just don't grab it out of my hand.
I know, but I want to see it, and you're all due.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you're all waving around.
Well, I'm waving it around. That's my business to wave it around.
Go give it to her.
Let me see it.
Yeah, there.
Okay, let me see the Rihanna fan thoughts. Garbage. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Oh, would you hold on, please? I'm still reading it, Phil.
Fine.
Blah, 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 blah.
What about that part there?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. No, there's nothing there.
Well, I'm going to read it anyway.
There's nothing there.
I'm going to read it anyway. Why don't you want me to read this?
Because I might have used that.
Uh-oh, are you trying to tell me you're going to get a herpes sore in your mouth?
Would you ask him to shut up?
Where did you use this lipstick?
I might have been in that store. God help me if I put my lips on the same lipstick that some woman...
Take it easy, Margaret. A Rihanna fan files a lawsuit against MAC Cosmetics, the company producing Riri Woo lipstick. Starkima Greenridge claims she got herpes after sampling the lipstick at a MAC pop-up store when attending the singer's concert at the Barclays Center in New York City on May the 7th. Were you there?
Yes, I was.
And you were at the Barclays Center, huh?
Yes, I told you. I was back there for Dicklin Syndicate, and I think because I saw a woman, she had to be named Starkima because...
Why? Okay, now this is going to be racist.
No, it's not racist, but Robert, I ask you. She was big and black.
Hey,
I take it easy.
Well, and she had the purple nails and the big long...
And you assumed that was the lady named Starkima who had just used this lipstick. She's claiming she got herpes from the lipstick.
Well, if I come down with herpes, if I wake up one morning feeling very faint... And feeling like I just don't have a skip in my step, and feeling like I don't want any breakfast, and I want to go back to bed, and I don't know what it is, and I wake up to go to the toilet, and I look in the mirror, and there is something that looks like a moon crater on my lip. God help Rihanna.
And all of this, in your mind, is the result...
You went to the concert. Ain't you listening too good?
Yeah, don't you listen too good?
Yeah, I listen real good, man. I just didn't know that she got around that much.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
You got around, Ms. Gray?
Excuse me.
I didn't mean... What? I'm not talking about you, your morals. I'm just saying I didn't know you got back to New York, went to this concert, and came back here.
Well, I did. I kept it under wraps because I was doing a report for... It's none of your business.
All right, it's none of my business. But the fact is, you walked up and you used this lipstick. Now, let me ask you something. If you saw this lady...
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you saw the lady and she had a big butt and everything like you say...
Did I say big butt?
Well, you intimated that.
You used a lipstick. Why'd you use a lipstick?
Because it looked interesting, because I didn't want to look like I was a stuffed shirt, because there were a lot of kids around trying this stuff out. So I took it, I looked at it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be egalitarian, and I won't do with this lipstick what I ordinarily would do, which would be to hand it back to the individual and say, would you give me a clean one, please? Because I was afraid of offending them.
And now you're on the air and you're talking about how you're afraid you might have herpes too. Have you gone to the doctor?
And have him do what?
Can't they give you a blood test?
No, it's a virus. Then a virus you can't do for, well...
Well, Bud's right. It's a virus. But if I wake up one morning feeling... Well, how would you know?
Yeah, how do you know, Mr. Henry?
I gotta be honest with you. I think I have herpes.
Oh, my God. And you're letting every woman out there that's ever...
No, wait. Hold on for just a sec. First of all, when I was in my 20s, I either I had it or there was something going on, man. Because, and I know, frankly, who gave it to me. And I loved her anyway.
Oh, God, Phil. I hope she's not listening to this.
Take it easy. But because it's a virus, it is dormant, and then it, you know, sort of reappears. And not since my, I'd say not since the 80s, not since the 80s have I seen any trace of this.
But you can't have no herpes having not just come, not like being, you know, like a dormouse.
Yeah, what about a dormouse?
What do you mean a dormouse?
What's that?
You know, if you have, if you get herpes, okay, and you're, and...
Talking about dormant?
What's that?
Dormant, where it's just sitting in the system and it has not become symptomatic. Symptomatic.
Yes, symptomatic. Do you know that?
No, but talk about a dormouse.
It ain't a dormouse. Dormat. Dormant. Dormant. That's what a herpes virus does. It becomes dormant. It just sits there. It doesn't do anything. It's kind of like a lot of these viruses, you know, like, what the hell else is there?
Well, what about the virus that causes... the virus that causes just the big oozing soeli.
I don't want to know about that one, okay? But I either I got it or I got something that's like it, or I never had a doctor check it out.
Well, what are you doing, Phil? You're playing Russian roulette. I'm sorry, I'll say it. You're playing Russian roulette with the genitalia of the women that you're sleeping with.
Will you shut up, Margaret?
Well, you are.
Playing Russian roulette with the genitalia.
Well, what are you doing? Don't you gonna go in and get a shot?
I've been to the doctor for it, and I've mentioned it to my doctor, and he said, well, you know, big deal. I could care less. You know, it's you against the world, Phil. No, he didn't say that. He just said, you know, come on in if you see the symptoms of it. And I said, I haven't in a long time. And he said, well, then, you know, kiss it goodbye, man.
Maybe it went away.
I don't think it goes away, does it, Bud?
I don't believe it do.
Well, you asking Bud about this.
Sounds like Bud knows all about it. He's got, it's all, you know...
No, just that the virus is not going to be, you know, the virus is not going to be.
The virus is not going to be what?
It's not going to be,
It's not going to be contagious?
No, it's contagious, but it's not no thing you get from a toilet seat.
I don't know. You're the guy that's all, yeah, he's really clued in, Robert. Thank you very much.
Well, it sounded like you was.
Well, can you get it from a toilet seat?
I don't know. You can't get it from a... I don't know. Maybe.
No, Phil, we went through this as a culture and as a country. Do you know the people that have suffered because you think you can get... Oh, that was AIDS. I'm talking...
Not AIDS. We're talking about this thing called herpes. Okay, so in any event, this lady is suing. And here is what it is. The Rihanna fan files a lawsuit against MAC Cosmetics. She's a 28-year-old waitress. She said an employee applied the lipstick to her upper lip.
Oh, God, that's the worst lip to have a big oozing sore on. God! God, why?
Hold on. The 28-year-old waitress said an employee applied the lipstick to her upper lip, and she was asked to press her lips together so that it could really spread the infection, or I mean it could spread the lipstick around. 2 days later, after applying this fantastically gorgeous lipstick, she looked at her lips, and they both looked as if they'd been stuck in a garbage disposal. No, she developed a cold sore on her lip as the result of contracting a version of herpes simplex virus, HSV-1. According to the lawsuit, MAC Cosmetics didn't use a fresh or new lipstick tube, but rather one that had been used for other patrons, adding that the company should have trained their employees to use disposable tubes and should have known it was unsanitary and exposing patrons to possible spread of disease. That's the truth. In the lawsuit filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court, the plaintiff is seeking unspecified damages, claiming she suffered from mental anguish and emotional distress.
Dude, I don't get that about a mental anguish.
Well, they got to use the term mental anguish because basically what it means is worry and concern. If you get herpes and you have to deal with it because you're going to a job, because you're going out on a date, you're having to deal with it cosmetically, you're having to deal with the fact that it is contagious, you could give it to a boyfriend. All of a sudden, there is this level, this layer of anxiety that's been heaped on your life that you don't need. You didn't ask for it. You didn't say, hey, man, give me herpes. You know, you were trying on some lipstick, and now all of a sudden they've added this hassle into your life because these jackasses were not being very sanitary.
Well, you can't say that in a courtroom, can you?
Now, I would if I was the lawyer. So she is seeking unspecified damages, claiming mental anguish, emotional distress after contracting the incurable disease. I wasn't able to work for 2 weeks. It cost me a lot of money. I don't know why she couldn't work for 2 weeks. Well, she's a waitress. Oh, that's why you can't work for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Are you going to be... So, in other words, you want to see a waitress walk up to your table?
Oh, no, never mind.
Oh, God, you're kidding.
Yeah, you want to see a waitress walk up to your table...
Shut up, Phil.
No. Walk up to your table with two just big sores. Ooh.
Shut up!
That would be bad. All right, speaking of being back, not bad, we'll be back. Maine Zumba prostitute Alexis Wright sentenced to jail time. A 30-year-old woman convicted of running a prostitution business out of her Zumba fitness studio in Kennebunk, Maine. Ain't that around where the Bushes used to live?
Kennebunkport.
Close by. We'll talk about this and look into it, and we'll do other things. You know, we'll stick a tube right up its you-know-what. When we come back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Shut up.
The Phil Hendry Show.
May I take your audition?
Oh, shut up, Phil.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. So I was telling a story to my studio mates here, to our panel here this evening, Margaret, Robert, and Bud. And I was telling them about a trip that I took back to Chicago 1 year with my girlfriend at the time. I was helping her move. I think some of you guys might have heard this story. Who's on the phone?
David Hall. Just want to...
Yeah, David, what's up?
I want to see if you're going to do that Lindsay Lohan story because I was telling Tabitha about it.
Wait, her name is what? Tabitha? I thought her name was Daphne.
Her name's Tabitha tonight. So let's not get into that, Phil. It's really none of your business. She's my girlfriend.
All I want to know is, because we've had people ask, is it the same woman?
Yes, it's the same woman.
So one night she's Tabitha.
One night she's Tabitha, and the next night she's Daphne, yeah. I was going to ask you, had you gotten into the Dina Lohan story, that's all.
I haven't gotten into that yet. I'm about to tell a story about the tornado.
Is this the one with the girlfriend?
I'm sorry?
Is this story the one with the girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Tabitha's asking me why you're doing that.
Who?
I just told you, Tabitha, my girl. Wait, hold on for a minute. What, baby? Tabitha wants to know why you're doing that story.
Oh, she does, huh? Well, that's what I'm doing on my show.
She says you're beating that one into the ground. I got to agree, Phil. I've heard that story about 6 times.
Well, maybe you have, and maybe there's some people listening that haven't heard it at all. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I get it. He says that some people, you know, it's a kind of a... Tabitha was just...
You know what? Tell Tabitha to park it.
Wait a second. That's the woman I love.
All right, so,
Well, you're going to hear about that.
I don't care. Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care if I'm going to hear about that. Tabitha thinks that I shouldn't be telling the tornado story.
Well, she could very well be the future you know, if he dies and she inherits the company.
That doesn't, so? What's that got to do with anything? She inherits the company. I own part of the company. I own the whole company. Okay?
Yeah, but I mean, what if Tabitha?
I don't give a damn about Tabitha. Is that him calling again?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Hall? Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I thank you not to talk about her behind her back because she's listening to you. And it's behind her back, you know? And
if she's listening to me, how is it behind her back?
Hold on. Hey, baby, if he's... She says it's because it is behind her back, even though she can hear it. Because she thinks you don't know she's listening.
No, that's not the case. I know she's listening.
He says he knows you're listening. I mean, yeah. She still says that you're beating that tornado story into the... Look, how did you...
All right, thank you very much.
God, you're hanging up.
I don't care, bud. I don't want any more calls from him. Am I going to do the Dina Lohan story? Oh, by the way, don't do the Tabitha thinks I'm beating it into the ground, huh?
That's the fiancé.
That's who he's been squiring around town for the last month. Tabitha, Daphne, I don't know what the hell her name is. She sounds like she's about 3 feet tall. Did you hear her?
Yeah, it does have kind of a squeak voice.
In any event, so we're driving back to Chicago one year. And I'm helping my girlfriend move. She lives in Portland. And we got the big Ryder rent-a-truck, and we're driving back to Chicago. Now, this is a girl that grew up in the Midwest. She was raised in Chicago primarily, but she also spent time in Kansas because her father was on the faculty at the University of Kansas for a time. So she was in Manhattan, Kansas. I guess I don't know much about it, but that's got to be tornado country, right?
Well, that's where the Wizard of Oz lived.
Well, it's not the Wizard of Oz lived there.
Well, no, not the Wizard of Oz, but the girl that was... Well, where did the Wizard of Oz live?
Lived in Oz.
I know he lived in Oz, but that's not a real place.
Right, but the wizard's not real.
Well, who was the man in the wagon? Frank Morgan, that's it.
That's the name of the actor.
In any event, Manhattan, Kansas is in Kansas, and that is where Dorothy and Toto and the rest of those bastards...
Mark, what are you getting upset about?
I need to use the toilet. Is there... I don't want toilet paper. Are there any Bounty towels?
You're talking about big...
Yes, big towels. That's what I want. The toilet paper you buy doesn't make it. Bud, that toilet paper ain't making it. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at what you just said. The toilet paper ain't making it.
Well, it's not.
Kansas is... Yeah, it's heavyweight country for tornadoes. So anyway... We're driving along. We get into Iowa. We're fairly close to our goal of Chicago by, let's see, what were we doing? I was so tired, I said, I got to pull over. I'll never forget. She says to me, my girlfriend says, I don't want to stay anywhere that's more than $25 a night. This was back in 1990 when you could still get a Motel 6 for around, you know, $25 a night, $24 a night, something like that. I don't know what they cost now, but... I'm dead tired. I cannot drive anymore. I'm going to freaking fall out here, man, behind the wheel of this truck if we don't pull over. And I saw this motel in Walcott, Iowa, $26 a night. And I said, you know what? Tough. We're pulling in. She was dead asleep, so what difference does it make? And I pull in there, and I get the room, and we go around back, and we park the big rig because we had this big truck, and we were hauling our car, too. And now, you know, we settle in for a very nice, what was going to be a day of sleep, because I think it was, I'd been driving all night. So it's about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm laying asleep, and all of a sudden, I roll over, I wake up, and I see her standing at this window of the motel. She's in this nightshirt, and she's got a chair, you know? And I say, what are you doing? She goes, you get into the bathroom. In other words, it's like your girlfriend suddenly has turned into like the foreman at the factory or something, you know, and you're the chick, you know, get in there.
Yes, dear.
So I said, OK, I said, what's going on? She goes, this is the something about the air pressure. She goes, I think the air pressure is jacked up. You know, I think we're about to get, you know, to get the windows blown out of this place. Because apparently she'd been awake and she heard that there was a tornado, whatever the one is that tells you to look out for them, but there ain't a tornado yet.
That's like a tornado warning.
Well, what's a tornado watch?
Yeah, tornado watch is when they're just watching for it, but there ain't no warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that. I think it was a tornado watch. In other words, there wasn't any imminent danger, but you know, she allowed all of her Midwest training to kick in, and she's standing with this chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? She goes, I'm going to bust this window out if the air pressure gets too weird. Now get into the bathroom. She's telling me to get into the bathroom because it's the central part of this room, and it is surrounded, obviously, by other structures, so this was the safer place to be. To this day, I don't know if she must have known what she was doing, you know.
All right, I'm back from the toilet. I had to come back listening to this garbage you were...
Why is it garbage?
Well, first of all, she's standing there in front of a window wearing a nightshirt, correct?
Yeah.
Was it sunny out?
A little bit.
Then obviously you can see through the nightshirt. Did it ever occur to you that that's what she was attempting to do? To get you a little bit interested in her, rather than lay there like a lump of you-know...
She's going to try to get me interested in her while she's holding a chair.
She was... Was she nude under the... Well...
It's none of your business. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah, she might have been trying to get you interested in her nude.
Well, then why doesn't she just take her freaking nightshirt off and stand there nude? How about that?
You don't want to look like a slut.
Yes, she didn't want to look like a slut.
So instead, she stands there... You guys are freaking
Phil
nuts.
Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're online at philhendryshow.com, where truth is our bitch. And, of course, we are here each and every night with you. Now, this is Saturday morning in many parts of the country, probably most. It's still Friday night here at the El Pacifico, which is where we broadcast from. We're also online at Facebook, as well as, of course, our website. We want you to get a backstage pass and enjoy our enjoy our live streaming video of the show every night, as well as our archived audio, as well as our podcast the next day of the show, as well as our daily classic podcast. We got more things happening at philhendryshow.com than you can shake your thing at. And I can also tell you with great satisfaction that we are available on all your mobile devices. If you want to watch our streaming video of the show, our video casts, our audio, it's available on your iPhone, on your Droid, as well as your tablet, your iPad, and so on and so forth like that. Do join us with a backstage pass. Now, you can also be a sort of a member of our extended family over on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS, and join us at Twitter, too. It's Real Phil Hendry, twitter.com/Real, R-E-A-L, Phil Hendry, at Twitter. And that way you get all the news, and we sort of kind of, we make sure that we catch everybody with the things.
With the herpes virus.
That's not funny at all.
Not really funny, but make sure we catch everybody with a herpes virus. That's great. All right, so not to get off topic, because I did want to read about the Zumba prostitute Alexis Wright. However, we were looking at super dramatic video from I don't know what it was from.
Well, it was CNN that had broadcast it, but it did say demo video, not for broadcast. And there was Anderson Cooper, for all the world, bold as hell. I mean, just as brazen as can be, showing video, clearly marked demo video.
Where does he get off doing that?
Who cares whether it's demo video?
Well, what do you mean, who cares? They marked it demo video.
Well, they marked it demo. First of all, that video was shot by that young man, Brandon Sullivan, who brought it onto the Anderson Cooper show, and we were showing it, folks. And I got to tell you, I think these guys are storm chasers, but they're traveling down a highway in Oklahoma, and there is debris being blown onto the road by the ton, it looks like. Why anybody would be out driving, I have no clue. Maybe you want to get away from this storm. Maybe you're looking to go as far away from it as you can, but it looked really hairy. And at one point, the windshield gets smashed by something big enough to smash a good quarter of the windshield. An enormous tumbleweed begins to roll into the pathway of the truck, and it gets hung up in God knows what, the grill and under the windshield wipers and so forth. And as they're traveling along, this guy, Brandon Sullivan, who had been in the car, was describing to Mr. Cooper what it was that they were dealing with. Five people have died, including a mother and her child. I mean, I'm not, you know, this is nothing that I want to belabor, but I just we're giving you the word on what's been going on in Oklahoma. It's getting hit again with these tornadoes. It is just a devastating season of severe, deadly weather there in Oklahoma. Small parts of adjoining states, maybe a little bit of Texas, but it's brutal. It's just absolutely brutal. So the video, when you say that, why was he showing the video?
Yes, I mean, because he's Anderson Cooper and he's the son of Gloria Allred or whatever.
Not Gloria Allred.
Gloria Vanderbilt.
He feels that he can brazenly show video that says demo only.
If he's being given permission by the guy that made the video...
Then why does it say demo?
Oh, who cares, Margaret, okay?
Yeah, nobody cares. God's given a thing.
All right, well then, from now on, Phil, I don't want to hear you cry about your copyright-protected audio. Oh, I forgot about that.
It's a completely different thing. If that guy gave his permission to use his video on CNN, then he did. If a guy gives his permission, then he does. If he doesn't, then he doesn't.
What?
Yeah, what's that mean?
Never mind. You guys can't figure that one out. I don't know what to tell you. All right, so in Alfred, Maine, a 30-year-old woman convicted of running a prostitution business out of her Zumba fitness studio in Kennebunk, Maine, was sentenced to 10 months in prison on Friday. Alexis Wright entered court today alongside her husband and said she was nervous as she arrived. She's going inside for 10 months. A Zumba fitness studio, huh?
That's right.
What is that?
Read on.
Facing a judge moments before her sentence was read, Wright accepted responsibility for the situation. I'm a person who knows the difference between right and wrong, a tearful Wright told the judge, and for those reasons, I chose to take the time in jail to take responsibility for my actions. The case made national headlines. Wright's detailed records, which included the names of her client list, added to the frenzy. She reached a deal in March, pled guilty to 20 counts of prostitution, tax evasion, and welfare fraud. Wright told the judge on Friday she'd been manipulated into starting the illicit enterprise by businessman Mark Strong, whom she met while working as an exotic dancer.
Now, that's not the actor. I want everyone to know Mark Strong, the very wonderful actor in Tinker, Tailor, Tooler, in Tinky Too.
Tinker, Tailor, you always do this. Tinker, Tailor.
What do I always, it's Tinker, Toot.
It's Tinker, Toot.
I'll do it. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yes. We're not talking about the very wonderful, and he was in Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay, yeah, that Mark Strong is a great actor. He's got nothing to do with this prostitution ring.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You're sure? This guy is some businessman. Anyway, no person should ever be forced into something like this, Wright told the court. So I see you're really taking responsibility there, Ms. Wright, while you say you were forced into something by a... Yeah.
Well, wait a second. What are you getting at?
Well, she's saying she's accepting responsibility... And she's this and that, and but however she was forced into it?
Well, Phil, she's a woman looking to make some kind of a living. She's looking to feed her children. Women don't have it easy. And she's trying to scrape together the means by which she can put a few cans of peaches, maybe canned vegetables, maybe a piece of bread, on a table for her children. So she pulls her pants off and wiggles her rear end in some guy's face, and you all of a sudden want to crucify her.
Well, you're the one that's saying that she shouldn't be held responsible at all, and she just said that she should be. And then she turns around and says that this guy, Mark Strong...
Would you get enough oxygen in your lungs before you say something?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
What?
You're going like, and then you're the one that... You're running out of air.
Well, I'm so sorry. I know that's very, very important. I know anything that will distract me away from making my point, you want to do that because you could lose this argument.
Excuse me. Lose the argument, homeboy. Woo! Well, you got a pair on you.
Yeah, tell him, Ms. Gray. You got a pair on you, Mr. Henry.
Is that right? I got a pair on... This guy, Mark Strong, was an illicit... he was a businessman that started this illicit enterprise. She says she was manipulated into it. And yet, in the paragraph before, she said, I'm a person who knows the difference between right and wrong, and for those reasons, I choose to take the time in jail to take responsibility for my actions. Now, which is she doing? Is she taking responsibility, or was she manipulated into it?
I don't think that's a fair question.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, I think Mr. Henry's right. You are not answering the question... Man.
I just think the two of you have got a pair on you.
There's two of us.
Yeah?
I think that means four.
Like I can't count? I still say the two of you have a pair on you.
Oh, man. She's dead. Put you down.
Why don't you shut up? Oh, so it's like that, huh?
Yeah.
Wright told the judge on Friday she'd been manipulated into starting the illicit enterprise by businessman Mark Strong. I got manipulated.
What a misogynist you are, Mr. Hendry.
Oh, how does that make me a misogynist when I asked this lady to take the responsibility that she already asked the judge that she was taking?
What?
What does that mean?
How am I a misogynist?
What are you trying to say, Phil? You're butchering it alive even as you speak.
Misogynist? How am I a misogynist? If I say to this woman, take the responsibility that you said you were going to take, why now are you saying to this judge, oh, you're manipulated, and the guy did this, and the guy did that, and no one should ever be forced? She's saying that she was forced.
Phil, as a woman who has had the back of her head held by a man, and not lovingly, as if I'm vomiting into a toilet, but I've had my hair grabbed into a bunch at the back of my head by a man, and I'm not going to say anything other than this. What I said after that was very difficult to make out.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Was very difficult to make out.
Oh, oh, oh.
Oh.
Well?
You are really sick.
Well, you're the one that's sitting there going, I didn't...
I figured it out, Miss Gray. You didn't have to be graphic with me.
I know that, bud. Thank you.
Yeah. What I said after that, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, look at him laughing now.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right, we're going to be back here on The Phil Hendry Show. I think we've said enough about that garbage. Good God. Dina Lohan and Michael Lohan. You know who these people are, right? They are the Lindsay Lohan's parents. And they have they've come out and they're playing a blame game on a talk show that bit the dust. I can't wait to read this. A talk show. Michael and Dina Lohan sharing a few laughs together. The divorced parents of Lindsay Lohan blame each other for their daughter's self-destructive behavior on a TV talk show. We'll talk about that when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Michael and Dina Lohan play blame game on talk show. Who's really at fault for Lindsay Lohan's failure to launch? Just one day after the celebrated hamburger summit at which Michael and Dina Lohan shared a few laughs together, the divorced parents of Lindsay Lohan blamed each other for their daughter's self-destructive behavior on a TV talk show. So they had a hamburger summit at which they shared a few laughs. What do you think the story is with these two people?
I think that they have become intoxicated by the attention. I think that they have fooled themselves into thinking that as long as they have this public forum, they're doing what they need to do for their daughter and that they must have a public forum to help their daughter. But I believe that it is, if it is not self-delusion, which it could very well be, it is certainly an attempted manipulation of public opinion about them, because I think the two of them have done more to embarrass their daughter. They've done more to shame their daughter. They've done more to... I think this Dina, she's the one that... Michael, I can forgive. He's a man, and I think we expect certain things.
See, I'm completely the opposite. Dina, I would understand, because she's the mother, and I think she understands her daughter. Michael, I don't know what his problem is. It borders on creepy.
Well, we so want to see incest. We so want to see inappropriate behavior, Phil, where it doesn't exist. I think Michael, I'm sorry, Phil, but I had...
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, but I was drinking one of your double shots.
Those are my double shots, bud.
Yeah, I'd rather want to have one.
I needed the caffeine, thank you very much.
They're my double shots.
Oh, what are you going to cry? Listen to that.
Well, $280 calories, Mr. Henry.
I know it's 280 calories. I already explained to the audience. Well, actually explained to my audience off during the Phil TV audience. It's 270 calories per can of these espresso double shots from Starbucks. And so that's 280 calories. So I've already factored that in. And then tomorrow I'm going to hit the beach and I'm going to run and I'm going to try to burn off some of this stuff. But I, in the meantime, wanted to enjoy them. And you had one of them? Yes, I am going to cry.
Well, all right. Here, what do you want me to do? Urinate it back into the can?
Oh, yeah!
Well...
No, thank you.
I think that Dina Lohan, I don't think she could embarrass her daughter more if Dina Lohan had squatted in some ivy off the side of a lightly traveled boulevard in Beverly Hills and then wiped with a banana leaf.
Yeah. Boy, and you're dead serious about that.
Yes, I am.
You got to wipe with a banana leaf for.
Did you hear what I just said?
Take it easy. Hold on. So you think that she's absolutely a disgrace as a mother?
I think they're both a disgrace, but I think that she particularly, with her big wide smile, look at the picture of her. I could walk up to her and slap that smile right off. I'm a mother. And Dina, if you're listening, and I know that you may be, because we had a salad. Dina.
You actually broke bread with her?
Yes. Why is that shocking?
It's not shocking. I just thought maybe you could get an interview.
No, I'm not going to bother my friends, Phil, for your little radio show. I'm sorry, but I'm just... Dina, if you're listening... Yes, we had a salad over at Ivy.
Okay.
Dina, if you're listening, darling, you really wipe the smile off your face because it makes me want to walk up to you and knock every one of those gorgeous teeth out of your head. You really disgust me. You sicken me to my very core, to the point where I want to vomit... And yet I love you, and you know that I do. You know I've got your back. But you make me want to push you off of a cliff, I guess, is the best way to put it.
How can you say you love her?
Hold on, Phil. I'm not done yet. Dina, I love you, I respect you, and I've got your back. But God, how I'd like to knock you unconscious behind the wheel of your sports car and drive
it off a cliff.
Did I say that?
Well, all right, what do you want to do with it?
Drive it into a wall.
Yeah, it's better.
I'll smack you.
Hold on for a minute. So do you like her or don't you?
I hate her. She's my sister. We've come up through some tough times together. I hate her living guts.
So that's Dina Lohan, folks, that Margaret's talking about. Now, let me just get into the story here. TMZ reported that sources who witnessed the taping of a new conflict resolution show called The Test... The Test, said both Michael and Dina attacked each other on air for lying about the past and messing up their mutual daughter. Michael has been in California this week to visit Lindsay and attend family counseling at the Betty Ford Center, where his troubled daughter is undergoing court-ordered rehab for drug and alcohol addiction. Oh, I understand this. The two of these idiots were on this talk show.
Don't call them idiots, Phil. They're friends of mine.
You just said you wanted to knock her unconscious behind the wheel of her sports car.
I didn't go behind. I said knock her unconscious behind the wheel of her sports car and lovingly, yes, lovingly, put a brick on the accelerator. Well, you won't understand.
No, you're right. I'm having a hard time understanding that.
Well, don't make a big deal out of it, Phil.
Well, what do you mean about put a brick on an accelerator?
In other words, something that weighs about what your head weighs, bud. Something solid and something cement-like.
Oh.
Okay, you've insulted Bud.
No, I'm just saying take a brick, push it onto the accelerator, have her unconscious behind the wheel of the car, and drive it as fast as you can into a brick wall, making sure the fuel is leaking.
But you love her like a sister.
Yes. She needs a wake-up call.
Sound like she needs a wake-up call, and then as soon as she wake up, she burn alive.
Yeah.
She burn alive. What is that?
What you just said was she needs a wake-up call, she wakes up, and then her car's on fire, and she dies.
Well, if that's what it is, it is what it is, Phil. You know, Phil, it is what it is.
You know, I hate that saying, it is what it is.
Why?
Because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing. It is what it is. Oh, okay. It is what it is.
It does mean it. It means accept the situation. This is what it is. It's not going to change. It's not going to get better.
Yeah, I understand what it means, Mr. Andrew. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is means, you know.
Means what?
That it is. Well, see, now he's doing this.
It is what it is very confusing. All right. Michael has been in California this week to visit Lindsay and blah, 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 blah. After their last kerfuffle, the New Yorker thinks Dina may try to keep him away from the therapy sessions. When he saw Lindsay last weekend, the controversial dad was singing a happier tune. She's doing phenomenal, he told TMZ. I thought he wasn't going to talk to the media anymore. That's what I heard him say. Let's forget about Dina for a minute. I heard him say that he was done talking to the media that he wasn't going to talk to anybody anymore because all he did was twist his words and make him sound like a jackass on wheels, and he wanted to just concentrate on his daughter and make sure she gets better and keep his big fat mouth shut. Now, when he said that, I was thinking, now this sounds like a guy that's really turned over a new leaf.
Well, you don't expect the man to be quiet in the face of the provocations, do you? These are unbearable provocations.
What?
The fact, look at Dina. She's the photograph and she's all hoo-hoo. She looks like a...
How is that? She looks like a slut is what you were going to say.
No.
She looks like a... What was that?
She looks like a sleen.
A sleen?
Yes.
What's that?
It's a family, a very, very well-educated family from California, and they're very moral and high-principled people.
I'll look them up.
You don't have to look them up.
She looks like a sleen.
You know, Phil, if you don't get it...
In any event, so you're telling me that because she looks like a very principled and high-moral woman...
Oh, he got you on that one.
No, I'm looking at... She looks like one of the sleen family. Yes, they're principled, but she also looks like she's undoing her blouse.
So she looks like a black sheep of the Sleen family.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the provocation that Michael can't deal with.
Michael is being provoked by that woman because he's in therapy with his daughter, and there's Dina looking like she wants to strip.
For all of the reporters.
Yes, for some douchebag from TMZ. My God, I wouldn't take my clothes off for...
Who would you take your clothes off for?
It wouldn't be for TMZ.
Like Fox?
It's none of your business who I'd strip for.
All right, we'll be back. Well, I think we should be warned. Ha, 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 ha.
What a...
Hold on. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Looks like a member of the Sleen family.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Could you put it back, please, Bud?
Okay, Bud Dickman. Yeah, all right. So Bud Dickman has put a slide on the Phil TV screen that shows Dina Lohan, and what's your point?
You and Dan Northcraft, and I want the audience to know this, that during the last break...
Hold on, don't put Dan in the middle of this, okay? If you want to say that I was the guy that started it, that's fine.
Well, I heard you and Dan Northcraft during the... And I want the audience to know, they were looking at pictures of Dina Lohan and talking about ball-gagging her.
I never used the word ball-gag, I said gag.
Oh, you're more proud... And they said... They'd like to tie her up and do things. Frankly, I got a little excited, and it disgusts me that I did.
That's on you, not me.
The things you said you wanted to do to Dina Lohan, do you want to say it on the air?
No, because I didn't say anything.
Well, you did say tie her up and gag her.
Yeah, to shut her up. And I was kidding.
No, there was other things you wanted to do that had to do with... Gagging her with underwear?
I never said anything like that.
Bull crap.
All right, is David home?
Yeah, get Mr. Hall's call.
Turn that freaking music down, okay? I'm in a bad mood enough. Hey, David, what's up?
I want to thank you. I wanted to call up and thank you. I mean, I did not know that you were going to be running the Lohan story, and Tabitha is very excited about that.
Okay, so her name is Tabitha now.
It was Tabitha. What do you mean? The name's been Tabitha.
The name was Tabitha tonight, Phil.
All right, when was it Daphne?
Let's not get on that. Now, Tabitha wanted me to call and thank you for what happened to the picture, because we've got Phil TV on the iPhone here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bud.
Where's the picture? Ah, there it is. And she wanted to say thank you very much for doing the Dina Lohan story and the Lindsay Lohan, because that's what she wanted to hear about. She didn't want to hear you going on and on and on about some of this other garbage, that's all.
Yeah, and since when is she calling the shots?
She's not... What, honey? She says she's not calling the shots, Phil. She just wanted you to run the Dina Lohan story. She said, why don't you get over yourself? And
why doesn't she get over herself? Why am I having to talk to your girlfriend, okay?
Do you understand that this is a woman that I love? deal. Hold on. What they? Yeah, she says that, that she says she's the woman that I love. Do you understand that?
Wait a minute. She said that or you said that?
I was going to say it, and she also said that's how we are. We're simpatico. We have things that we say, you know, that we think. We think the same things. What, baby? Yeah, she says, do you understand that I'm the woman? She said, do you understand, meaning you, that I, not me, but her, am the woman that he, meaning me, loves?
What?
What? That don't make no sense.
Who's asking you, Dickman? I said, Phil, and I'll say it again because I'm a patient man.
No, I understand. She's the woman that you love. I understand that. I'm very happy to accommodate and do the Dina Lohan story. I don't like the idea.
I just told her, you don't have to go any further. You said the thing that I wanted you to say. You don't have to start to qualify it with what you don't like because all that's going to do is piss her off. Here, what, babe? She's asking why you're trying to piss her off.
Hey, let me ask you a question, okay?
Well, can you answer the question first?
No, no, I want to ask you a question. What is it with you relaying messages from her to me? Is this phone call about you telling me some things about the show, or is she suddenly directing the Phil Henry show?
She's not directing anything. I can assure you, Phil, that I am still your partner in this enterprise. I'm simply saying that the woman that I love, Tabitha, she's the woman I love. You love a woman, don't you?
I, right now?
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't really have well, yeah, there's...
Well, which is it? Do you love a woman or don't you?
There's a bunch of them. How about that?
Wow, do you get around. Woo! Get a load of that, honey, huh?
Hey, where are you anyway?
In the newsroom over here at the Orange County Courier.
What are you doing over there?
We brought Doug Dinger something to eat. He wanted some clam chowder from Neptune's Den. What, baby? Yeah, she said we brought him clam chowder.
You know what? You don't have to tell me what she's saying, because she's saying the same thing that you said, okay? You're in the newsroom there.
Yeah.
Where's Doug?
He's working on a story.
Can I talk to him?
No, he's working on a story. Doug, you want to talk to Henry?
Yeah.
I can't talk to you. So we brought him, he called me up, and he wanted some clam chowder, so we came down with it.
Saturday or Friday night, huh?
No, it's a Friday night, not Saturday night. But all I was trying to tell you is that we're very... All I was doing was call up to tell you something good, and you're ripping into me. You're ripping into me like I'm some punk. You're ripping into me like I'm a fresh fish in the tank. Yeah, Tabitha said, you're ripping into me like I'm fresh meat. You know, and she feels that that undervalues me, and I don't look as tough as I did before I talked to you.
Okay, well, let me just say to Tabitha, I know you're listening, dear, that David is a real butch macho guy, and I just think he's fantastic.
How about that, baby? She knows you're bullcrapping. So,
all right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you again for the Dina Lohan story. At least that few paltry seconds of the Dina Lohan story extends my opportunities with Tabitha past midnight. Thanks for nothing.
Why'd he say that?
Well, I think he knew you're being sarcastic, Phil.
No, I don't... How am I supposed to deal with a jackass like that if he's... Every 5 seconds, he's talking to this girlfriend of his. Okay?
Well, yeah, but it's the woman he loves.
So I heard. And it's her talking about this, that, something else. She's, you know, repeating everything that he says. It's weird, man. It's weird, and it's getting weirder all the time. All right, so that is the Lindsay Lohan story. Danger, we ought to be able to get his. Is he working on that story?
Well, what is he doing, bud?
Yeah, get Doug Danger. Yeah, Phil Henry Show. What? Phil Henry Show. On account of the thing.
Hey, Doug, yeah, Doug Danger is with us from the Orange County Courier. Hey, what's with that? You're not taking phone calls? Or what was going on?
I'm working on a story, Phil. I am working on the Lohan story. I'm working on that talk show called The Test. And David and Daphne were, I should say Tabitha. You see, I'm just like you. The names are a little confusing. As long as she remembers, I'm a gay man, gay journalist. The reason why I said that is because I met her tonight, and I said, your name is Tabitha. I said, you know, I had a very strong suspicion that you were sort of a Gen X, and she's a little bit younger than David. And she said, yes, I am. And I said, where are you from? And she comes from Las Cruces, New Mexico. And I said, I've got family there, okay? Now, here's the thing that was, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I said to her, do you know the Kaufman family? And she said, you mean Kaufman? I said, well, Kaufman. And she said, well, you're using the old Jewish-German pronunciation. I said, yes, I am. Do you know them? She said, no, I don't. I've never heard of them. She said, I don't think they live in Las Cruces. Now, here's the thing that I thought was interesting. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay, Phil? Okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
That's not difficult for you to admit to, is it?
No, it's not, Doug. You know full well.
All right, I'm saying. So here's the interesting thing. I'm talking to this Tabitha. David is over getting himself a cup of that fruit juice that we got. You know that new vending machine we got? We got that fruit punch. Have you seen it, Phil?
No, I've not been down to the newsroom.
We got a new vending machine. They got fruit punch, fruit juice, some kind of a fruit drink. And I told Bill Effney, I said, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I said, what's that about? He said, what's what about? I said, you got three different kinds of fruit juice and fruit punch, and there's a whole lot of fruit going on. And I said, I'm praying to God, I'm praying to your God, and I'm praying to my God that you are not making some comment on the fact you got a gay man and a gay journalist in the newsroom here, that you got all this fruit juice. He said, well, you're not the only gay we've got here. I said, I know that, but I'm the only one that admits to it, okay? Now, what was interesting about it...
Well, hold on for a minute, Doug.
Yeah?
Where is this going?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Going on forever.
You going to let me finish?
Not if this thing's going to go on forever.
What's the problem?
The problem is it started out with Las Cruces, New Mexico, and the Kaufman family, and now we got fruit juice and fruit punch. Where's it going?
I'm going to tell you, I was going to talk about the Dina Lohan story and how Tabitha got me to get back on that story. We weren't even going to file that story. But when David and Tabitha got here and they had the clam chowder from Neptune's Net, just the way I like it, you know, that good, thick, rich clam chowder. I'm not talking about that lousy New York clam chowder they had with that the tomato base. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
Well, do you know clam chowder?
I know New York and New England, sure.
Okay, I mean, you're sounding kind of impatient.
Well, what...
Anyway, so I said to them, get me that good clam chowder, and Hall says, okay. So meanwhile, I'm having an argument here with Bill Effort, and I said, what's the story with the fruit juice? Now, by this point, I got really angry, and I grabbed him by the shirt. Now, I know that I shouldn't be doing that, and you've told me a lot of people, but I grabbed him by the shirt, and I pinned him against the machine, and I said, now, I've got your head right between the words fruit and fruit, fruit juice, fruit punch, and your head's right in the middle. I said, now, there will be room for another word, fruit, if I take your head out of there. And I said, and the only way I'm taking your head out of there is not just moving you away from the machine, but I'm going to punch it so hard that your head goes through the machine, and now we got room for the word fruit as long as they repair the machine. See?
That's the longest way of saying you got to kick a guy's ass I ever heard.
Bingo. Exactly.
What?
Whatever it was you're talking about, you're going to beat some guy's ass because he's putting too much fruit juice into a vending machine.
Yeah. So, Dina Lohan, the reason why this comes around to Dina Lohan and her husband, former husband, Michael Lohan, who are the parents of Lindsay Lohan, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm reporting on this, and I'm writing a story as these people come in with a clam chowder, and I said, you know, I'm talking about Dina Lohan. There's fruit juice in this machine that's driving me ape. I almost killed a man because of that. I said, Michael Lohan makes me want to commit homicide, and now you bring me clam chowder, which I think is kind of a slam on being gay. And they said, no, we really just want to bring you clam chowder. I said, well, you saved a lot of lives tonight because it just so happens I love clam chowder. Otherwise, I would have thought it was an anti-gay statement. See?
You know...
Come on, Phil, don't make a big drama out of it. Do you see?
No, I don't see.
What don't you see?
I don't understand your story at all.
Doug, can I take a crack at it? Because Phil's been a little thick tonight.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Phil.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, been a little thick tonight?
Phil, the clam chowder could be read as something salacious, something pornographic.
The clam chowder.
Yes, the clam chowder, yes. And so, Doug was ready to beat ass, I think is the way you'd put it, Doug.
Yeah.
He was ready to kick ass on the guy at the fruit punch machine, and he'd already made up his mind to kick Michael Lohan's ass next time he saw him. It was not until David and Tabitha explained the clam chowder.
See what I'm saying?
No, I don't, but I'll accept what you're saying.
Oh, man, Phil, I mean, come on, it's as plain as the nose on your face. And I'm looking at your nose right now because I got Phil TV and HD. I'm a subscriber to your website,
Website.
All right, I'm a subscriber to your website. And I'm looking at your nose. It ain't that big of a nose, but I can see it. And we tried to explain something to you tonight, and you wanted to take it all the way down some homophobic thing.
I don't know what's homophobic about me not understanding the whole thing about clam chowder, fruit punch, and a whole other thing, okay?
Gotta take a break.
What?
We gotta take a break.
Gotta break.
You might as well break, Phil.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Doug.
Well, Okay, Phil, thank you.
Doug Danger, Orange County Courier.
Don't get angry at me. I'm not the one that brought the clam chowder.
No, but you know something? All of you people just are... We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Good to have you with us here tonight. It is Saturday morning, and I think everywhere but the El Pacifico, about 15 minutes away from an El Pacifico Saturday morning. And
truth
86 degrees tomorrow
bitch.
Here in the El Pacifico.
The Phil Henry Show.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, here's a story, and let's get that picture of Dina Lohan off of there. We've had, for our Phil TV and HD viewers, varying pictures of Dina Lohan. You can get off of there, bud.
Yeah, look at this one. She looks like she's tarted.
Yeah, man, what's happened to her?
She looks like she's taken a taser right up her...
Okay, fine.
I mean, I don't know, but it looks like someone tased her on her...
Vaginal?
Would you shut...
Watch out now. Don't be throwing a punch at him. You're the one that said it.
I'll say it. I don't want him saying it. She looks like someone tased her. Thing.
Her thing. How adult.
Oh, give it a rest, Phil, will you?
Anyway, welcome back to the program, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Graduation melee. A whole new definition for kindergarten cops. There was a brawl at a kindergarten graduation... the words kindergarten graduation usually evoke images of tearful parents taking pictures of cute kids in pint-sized graduation caps and gowns. I don't know I remember graduating from kindergarten.
What?
Yeah, they had a little grad. We did the hukilau.
What's that?
A Hawaiian dance.
Wait a minute, man. You graduated from kindergarten?
Yeah. Don't I look like I got out of kindergarten?
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know they had graduation.
I don't think Jason J. Delmonico had graduation.
Well, we did. At Camino Grove School in Arcadia, California, we had graduation from kindergarten. And I remember because my folks were there. I don't know why I have this memory. I think it's because we practiced this hukilau dance.
What is that?
It's a Hawaiian dance. And there's a song that goes with it. And we were little five-year-old kids, and we're doing this hukilau.
I think that is absolutely disgraceful.
Why?
I'll tell you why. It is enough... that we have our children falling away from traditional religion, and now you are telling me that you had a kindergarten experience where you're exposed to some witch doctor, in other words, a native witch doctor.
A native witch doctor?
Well, yeah, just didn't hear what it is.
Why were you dancing some primitive dance?
Margaret, it was a culture. It was a folk dance, okay? It was a dance that the... I don't even know if it's an authentic folk dance. The song's called the Hukilau. Have you ever heard of it?
It sounds like some witch... It sounds like some painted tribal frenzy of some kind. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Why aren't we having our children doing Christian dances or something that is a traditional Christian step? A Christian, you know that there are Christian mambo steps, and there is a Christian rumba?
I didn't know that, no.
I don't know if there, why couldn't you be doing a traditional Christian merengue?
I don't know why we weren't doing a Christian merengue. They had us doing a Hawaiian thing, and like I said, I don't know that it's actually a real dance.
Well, what does that mean?
It could have been something that had been created by some pop songwriter, the hukilau. What the hell is that?
I don't know, but it's in a language that is foreign. It sounds like a guttural, animist, tribal chant. Oh, God.
Oh, knock it off, will you? Are you telling me a little kid? What about the little kids that do? We're always seeing kids doing these dances in foreign language. I'm not even going to entertain this asinine conversation.
Fine, you don't have to, Phil, but there you are as a little boy. Do-do-do-do-do. Do you know the last thing that James Cook saw?
I'm sorry?
The last thing that James Cook saw. James Cook.
Yeah, he was the guy that discovered the Sandwich Island.
Yeah, very good, bud. James Cook discovered the Hawaiian Islands. What was the last thing he saw?
The last, I don't know.
A Hawaiian with a tomahawk crashing down between his eyes and breaking his skull in half. And there you are. Oh, we're going to the hookie lot. You see what I mean? I'm sorry to yell, Phil. James Cook, the last thing he saw was a filthy, marauding Hawaii.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, Miss Greta, it doesn't sound like you.
You are usually pretty liberal about these things.
I don't like you bringing up Hawaii.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I thought so.
Here we go. It has to do with an ex-boyfriend.
Not an ex-boyfriend, is that what you said?
An ex-boyfriend, right?
That's none of your business.
Well, it may not be any of my business, but there you are with, and James Cook, the last thing he saw was a tribal animal smashing his tomahawk, and this is all because you got a hang-up about some guy you met in Hawaii.
He was the love of my life.
What was his name?
His name was, well, all of them are called Junior. You know that. Did you know that?
What?
All the men over there, they just call him Junior. His name was Junior Ukumatawa. I don't know.
It was Junior?
It might have been Junior. I'll tell you, that was his name, but the rest of him wasn't Junior.
Oh, God!
I can't...
Oh, I see. So the love of my life sickens you, is that it?
Yeah, it pretty much does. You go through a whole song and a dance about me doing a hookie lau, and why aren't we doing a Christian merengue or a Christian step, and why am I being taught these animalistic tribal dances... And the last thing that James Cook saw, and who was he? Well, he discovered the Sandwich Islands. Very good, bud. And the last thing he saw was a Hawaiian crashing his tomahawk down between his eyes and breaking his skull apart. And all of this because some guy named Junior dumped you.
How dare you?
I was gonna cry.
I'm sorry, Margaret. Was this... I better not ask.
Yes, it was before I married Frank. What a slob.
Sorry. And his name was Junior, huh?
I didn't know his first name. All the Hawaiians are called Junior. Is that all right with you?
Well...
Is that all right with you?
Yes, it's fine with me.
Every Hawaiian man that plays football is named Junior. Oh, I really hope you take the A train to the hot city.
Every Hawaiian that plays football is named Junior. Okay. I know Junior Seau.
Bingo!
Was he born in Hawaii? Junior, there was another Junior that played in... All right, anyway, we'll be back after this short commercial break. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There's Junior there. Some video here on Phil TV and HD of the gathering storms there in Oklahoma. They're not just gathering. I mean, they have gathered and they have hit. And some of them are pretty devastating. And there's been a loss of life there. And one of the pieces of video that we were watching here was literally you were watching a funnel cloud forming out in what looked like the middle of some sort of pasture or farmland. And these guys, who I'm assuming are storm chasers, were videoing it and at the same time rather amazed and aghast at what they were witnessing. You're literally seeing these funnel clouds kind of forming right on the ground. And I don't know that that's exactly how it works, but I imagine in some instances they're forming way up in the atmosphere and then somehow the storm touches down and this vortex is created, but it was pretty heavy, and you could hear the shock and the amazement of the guys that were doing the storm chasing. These storm chasers, the first time I ever heard of them, and it might be the same for you, was in a GQ article back in 1995 or 1994. It was from that article that the film Twister, I think, was originally drawn. It was an article about some storm chasers in Oklahoma. It might even have been the University of Oklahoma. These were guys that worked for or were students at the meteorological school there. And the mythology surrounding storm chasers, the sort of the legendary persona of these guys was of a group of hipsters, sort of neo-hipster slacker types, whose only interest is in these phenomenal storm systems and in chasing them, clocking the wind speeds, seeing how fast they're moving, and getting as close as they possibly can to these very, very dangerous storm systems. And so it went in the film. And if you saw the movie, you saw, you know, I think it was Bill Paxton and Philip Seymour Hoffman and a few other, these other actors who are, for all the world, they look like, you know, a cross between Spicoli and, I don't know, you know, just any average sort of movie hipster. And these guys were all interested. They were interested more in chasing tornadoes than they were in chasing girls. They were more interested in chasing tornadoes than they were in anything. And so they were sort of a band of merry men led by this Bill Paxton character who had a love interest in Helen Hunt. And then in the meantime, they're all gathering at some lady's farm, you know, who I think had a position of matriarch for these cats, because maybe somebody in her family was killed. It usually is kind of like that, you know, or there's a pathos there. But so that was that. And they also had a running competition with another group of storm chasers that you can imagine, if you really want to create the tension. These guys are all very loose and sort of party. They're like the Animal House of storm chasers. And the other guys are real button down, teacher's pet apple polishers. And they're always a day late and a dollar short, because these Animal House guys are always there and they're on top of it, you know.
What are the Animal House guys doing?
Well, the Animal House type storm chasers, they want to, not only do they want to chase the storm, but their goal is to release these ping pong ball type things that will get into the funnel and will accurately and adequately clock the wind speed of this funnel. These ping pong balls are sensors, or can be read by the equipment they have, so they can see how fast these things are spinning in this storm, and hence they will get a wind speed, which for them is like the Holy Grail. But there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing Hollywood about this. You're looking at funnel clouds. These are new funnel clouds today that we were looking at the video of, that are, at 1 second, they look like they've touched ground and they are on their way to doing insane and serious damage. And the next instance, they let up and they are, sort of, they just disappear from the horizon, and then they're back again. It looks just really scary and really crazy. And like we said, right now what they're trying to do is assess the damage. They're still trying to conduct rescue of people. There's been, you know, as we said, a loss of life here. The story is a storm system that wrought havoc on the Oklahoma City metropolitan area, generating a handful of tornadoes that killed five people and sent tens of thousands scrambling for shelter, moved late Friday over Missouri. The National Weather Service warned a confirmed and extremely dangerous tornado was near the city of Harvester, about 25 miles northwest of St. Louis. There were no immediate reports of catastrophic damage or major injuries in the St. Louis area, said Jeff Rainford, the chief of staff for Mayor Francis Slay. Lambert St. Louis International Airport was closed because of the severe weather, and minor damage was reported to a terminal. So there you go. That's the word, man. That is weird. And you know, for those of you who live in that area, obviously you know what to do. I don't have to tell you.
Well, what do you mean you don't have to tell? You should tell them.
No, I don't think I have to tell them. If you live there in the area, St. Louis, Oklahoma, Missouri, you know, what am I going to tell them that they don't already know?
Yeah, but it's a responsibility of the broadcaster.
Responsibility to do what? They know what to do. I just got done saying there's all this stuff, this heavy weather. What do you mind? And for those of you in the area, make sure you get to a shelter. What is that? You know?
Well, what if they, well,
what if they forgot? How are you going to forget when you're looking at something like that?
Yeah, but Mr. Henry, you're supposed to be a responsible broadcaster and everything like that.
I'm supposed to be a responsible broadcaster and everything like that.
That's right. That's what he said. Want to hear it again? Ask me again and I'll tell you the same.
Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out.
Whatever that means, you know.
Well, be responsible and say it.
Say what?
Just do it, will you please? It'll make me less nervous.
Okay, folks, make sure you get to a shelter if you see a tornado.
Well, that sounded weak.
Well, that's what you wanted me to do, and I ain't getting any... It's not going to get any heavier than that. You guys are weird, man. I'm telling you right now. Real weird. Giving me the song and a dance about be responsible and tell people where to go. I get kind of tired of that whole thing, you know. I love this. Drive careful. Really? Don't drink and drive. I mean, it's not a bad reminder for some people. I think that don't drink and drive can possibly be something that would slip your mind. Honest to God, you know, you go to a party, have some beers, oh, geez, you know. But make sure you go to a shelter because there's a tornado out there. Who the hell needs to be reminded of that?
I just think you're being very irresponsible by not saying it.
Okay, go to a shelter if there's a tornado.
Again.
Go to a shelter if there's a tornado.
One more time.
Get out of here. Michelle Bachmann drops out of the race, and we promise to... Look at that. You broke my glasses, bud.
No, you broke them.
You broke them.
No.
We promise to have Larry Grover back on tonight, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Oh, God.
What?
This guy Grover is so...
You know what? He's going to come on because he was going to do a report on the Michelle Bachmann leaving the running again for Congress, is what I should say. And here he is in Culver City. Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. And Ms. Gray, you know what? The feeling's mutual.
Well, you know something, Mr. Grover? You are not just a conservative.
I don't think I came on this program, by the way, to talk to you.
You're not just a conservative, sir.
Excuse me, but I didn't come on the program to talk to you.
I was going to say...
La, 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 la.
Oh, what a child.
La, la, la.
Come on, Larry, don't do that.
Is that you, Phil?
Yes, don't do that.
I said I would come on the program and talk to you that if I had to hear Gray, if I heard anything that was even remotely approaching the tenor and the timbre of a voice that was like hers, I won't listen to it.
You know something?
La, 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 la.
You know what? I'm going to go to the toilet.
La, 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 la.
Come on, cut it out, will you?
All right, well,
I'm going to the toilet, Larry.
La, 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 la. All right, is she gone?
How do you know she's going to the toilet?
I could hear her saying going to the toilet, Larry, but I wanted to make sure, and then I started going la la.
Do you don't feel the least bit childish, huh?
Can I ask you something?
I asked you something.
Yeah, I know, but I need to ask you, because I'm watching Phil TV in HD. Are you picking your nose, or what are you doing?
I'm scratching my nose because it's itching.
Since when do you scratch your nose by sticking a finger two knuckles deep?
I didn't do that.
Well, you are, Mr. Henry, doing something with a nose.
I'm scratching my nose, man. It tickles. There's something bugging my nose.
Well, it looked like you went two knuckles in.
Guess what, pal? Get some glasses.
You know, I'm your guest, okay?
You know, this is what I mean, Phil.
La, 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 la.
Forget it.
Yeah, see, I won't allow it. I won't allow it. I'm a guest on your program. I will not allow it. I will not allow her to interrupt and otherwise confuse my message. And my message tonight, Phil, is very clear. Michelle Bachmann will be missed. Michelle Bachmann was a beautiful, beautiful thing for the Republican Party. She was a bright, shining star in what was otherwise a black, black night that had descended upon our party. And I don't think anything has been blacker since the great words of Walt Whitman as Abraham Lincoln the following morning after his assassination, when Whitman penned the lines, "The clouds are black and serpentine. Lincoln's dead. Black, black, black."
That is a beautiful piece of Whitman poetry. And I'm amazed that you were able to pull that...
out of my rear end? No, I didn't pull it out of my rear end, Phil.
No, I didn't say that. I said that you had that at hand.
Well, you know, it happens to be a favorite line of poetry of mine.
And is that the actual quote?
No. I probably carved it up, but I got as close as I could. There's a young lady who is on a makeup commercial right now. She's a Scarlett Johansson lookalike with one extra attribute. Her breasts are enormous. And
what has this got to do with anything?
Nothing, but Mother, could you turn the channel? other turn the channel because the girl is distracting me. I want to talk about...
Yeah?
I want to talk... Could you please turn the channel, Mother? The breasts on that woman.
Mary, I want to see it.
God, I...
Go into another room.
Oh, that's what I'll do. I'm taking the phone into another room, Mother, so I don't have to look at you and these infomercial. That girl is beautiful. God, I want...
Would you...
All right, so... thank God. I'm in my bedroom now. Although I have on the ceiling... Well, never mind.
What you got on the ceiling, what?
I've got a picture of Scarlett Johansson on the ceiling. You ask me, I've got to tell you. Why are you pushing it? You know?
Larry, you were telling me you had to get out of the living room because you saw a girl that looked like Scarlett Johansson on TV and she had large breasts and you needed to get out of there because it was distracting you and you told your mother to turn it off and she wouldn't. You go into your bedroom and you've got a picture of her on your ceiling.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you've got two knuckles up your nose. So which of us is really in need here? Who's the one that's really in need?
I don't have two knuckles up my nose. I'm scratching my nose with my thumb.
Oh, you almost said something else.
Yeah, you almost said, like, I'm scratching my nose with my, probably a dirty word.
No, bud, you see this left hand?
I know, it's been everywhere.
That's right. This left hand's been everywhere.
Well, I'd hate to see, especially when you got it balled up into a fist. What do you mean by that?
Should I hang up?
No.
Then when are we going to start this interview?
Right now. I mean,
watch it with the whole balled up in a fist crack.
Well, I mean, all right, I'm out of there. Can I just do one thing?
What?
I want to get the picture of Johansson up the ceiling. Is that all right with you?
All right.
Larry, what are you doing?
I'm taking the Scarlett Johansson picture off my ceiling.
All right, in the meantime, let's take a break and we'll get back with Larry Grover as he talks about, sooner or later, Michelle Bachmann leaving the race for Congress.
Getting it off the ceiling. No, I don't want to rip it up. I want to save it. Save it, Mother. Roll it up. Oh, you dirty old bag.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Larry Grover is with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk about Michelle Bachmann, got sidetracked a bunch of stuff, but Larry, you are set to go?
Yeah, Phil, I apologize. We've got a quieter room here. I know Mother's in the living room. She's watching the television. I just wanted to say that Michelle Bachmann leaving the race there in Minnesota for her congressional seat, I want to tell you that I'm very sad to see her go. I think Michelle Bachmann was nothing but an asset, and I underline that word asset. And at no time, in my opinion, was Michelle Bachmann anything other than a great shining example of what a Republican woman, a conservative woman, could do if she pressed ahead and she just told everybody to get out of her way. If you want to help, help. If you don't want to help, get the hell out of my way. And I'm telling you, I was very, very disappointed to hear some of the commentary. Now, this guy, Jim Graves, who was going to run against her, has dropped out of the race. You heard about that?
Yes, I did. Now, Jim Graves is a Democrat. He was going to be her opponent, but he has dropped from the race, saying that the ineffective leadership of Michelle Bachmann, which will no longer be a threat, no longer necessitates his being in the race. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee also confirmed Graves' decision to ABC News. The decision came as a surprise, seeing just how close Graves got with little national support last time around. A suburban Minneapolis district, it is deeply Republican, but Wells said the campaign had a pathway to victory, and Graves dropping out was nothing more than no longer feeling the need to spend the time and effort now that Bachmann was out. He would have won the primary if he had chosen to stay in and finish the campaign through 2014. Is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? I think he's a, what is he?
Oh, he's a Democrat. Look, you can read all the press clippings you want of this guy, and you can talk all you want about the ineffective leadership. I think it's slanderous. I think that Michelle Bachmann did nothing but reflect positively on what a Republican woman
A woman, and I will say, a woman who I think was a good representation of the Republican womanhood. She was a lady who had a good, firm grip on the issues of the day. She was a woman who had, an articulate approach to the issues of the day. I think she was speaking very much out of the common sense approach. Most people thought she would, not most, but a lot of the radical turncoats in the Republican Party that thought that she was some kind of a traitor, when in point of fact, she was the only one speaking real Republican and conservative ideology. And on top of everything else, and on a personal note, I felt that she was an attractive woman, and her husband, I can't understand that, but if that was okay for her, then okay. She can do whatever she wants. But that guy was, that baffled me, how it is that he scored that. And
well, now, you're going to have to be clear here, okay?
Oh, well, what do you mean?
I mean, you're going to have, a lot of people may not know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about her husband.
I understand you're talking about Michelle Bachmann's husband, but a lot of people may not understand why you say what you say.
About what?
How he scored that.
Well, the guy if people aren't familiar, I suggest you go to YouTube and look up Michelle Bachmann's husband. I've blacked his name out. I've purposefully tried to forget his name because I just God help me for saying this, Phil, but I think he cost her thousands of votes every time he...
Every time he what?
Every time he glided into a room.
Okay.
Well,
that's what I mean, Phil. I'm on the extension, Larry.
Don't eavesdrop on what I'm saying!
Larry, I think it's unfair to say that Mr. Bachmann glided in the room. I don't know if the lubrication.
There she goes.
Mrs. Grover, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, but Larry doesn't.
Lubrication have to do with anything, Mother. You are disgusting when you say that. You have befouled the airway. I'm trying to have a clean, crisp conversation with Mr. Hendry. Why did you say that?
I'm saying that Larry read an article about lube.
And what has that got to do with Michelle Bachmann?
I'm just scared. I'm Mr. Hendry?
Yes.
Larry read an article about lube.
Okay.
Yeah, what has that got to do with Michelle Bachmann? Okay, so she drops her hand grenade and runs out.
Well, look at...
You see, that's a hand grenade she dropped. Well, Larry read an article about lube, and so that's got to do something to do with him?
I don't know. I mean, she's your mother.
Yeah, she's my mother, and that's what she does. So she says that I read an article about, quote, lube, end quote, and that's got something to do with Michelle Bachmann's husband. And it didn't.
All right. Did you read an article about that?
That's none of your business. That's none of your business.
Larry, it sounds like, once again, at your house, things are a little out of control. I'm going to let you go.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mother.
I'm sorry, Larry.
Thanks a lot, Mother.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry Grover. Appreciate that. I think your essential point is that Michelle Bachmann was a credit to the Republican Party. It's sad to see her go. And then your last statement there about her husband being a deficit or a detraction or whatever. We'll be right back here with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What, Mother?
Larry, why don't you tell him?
You read an article about lube, so...
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and very, very nice people over on Facebook posted the Hookie Lau dance.
What?
Well, one of our listeners was over there. This is Marlena Barry Crawford, and she said, for your education and enjoyment, ladies and gentlemen, the Hookie Lau movie, How to Sing and Dance It.
Well, now, what this is the Hookie Lau, again, this is what I am very, very suspect of.
Margaret, let's not get into this. You had a boyfriend that dumped you named Junior.
Oh, I already mentioned that.
Yeah.
Well, so you're making... So in other words, I'm against the hooky lao because someone did the old P&D.
Someone did the what?
You're saying that I'm against the hooky lao because a guy named Junior P and D'd.
Pumped and dumped.
Oh, would you come on and act like a lady?
I am... How dare you say I'm not a lady?
Well, did do a P&D.
Pumped and dumped. What kind of a term is that?
Look, Phil, you're not a woman. If a guy named Junior, okay, who's selling Thai bud and Thai sticks on the side of a highway in Oahu, gives you one of the rides of your life and then dumps you the next day near a runway at...
Where's she going?
I think she's upset.
He dumped you the next day near one, what, at Honolulu International?
Yes. I hope God selects you out of the front of the line, Phil, for hell.
Margaret, you're the one that came on this program not minutes ago and said that a guy named Junior P&D'd you, and that meant that you were, you thought the hooky lao was some kind of a demon dance or some animist, tribal, wild, frenzied dance, anti-Christian, anti-Judeo-Christian, whatever the hell you wanted to call it. Okay?
Yeah, keep going.
Why do I got to talk to you while you're in the toilet?
Because that's where I am right now. It is what it is, Phil.
Oh, man. Okay, so what?
Do you know Junior?
No, I don't.
Drop dead.
Junior is a guy that P&D'd.
I know. Junior's the guy that P&D'd.
Well, I'll tell you about a guy named Junior.
What is it with Junior? What, every cat in Hawaii? What is it with, what do you mean every guy in Hawaii is named Junior?
Every native Hawaiian who is male and over the age of 50 is named Junior.
You know what I think? I think you're full of crap. I knew there was Junior Seau, and there was another Junior that played in the NFL. The only Juniors that I know that are from Hawaii are football players.
Well, it's probably enough.
And then one of them was in the Canadian League, Junior Oda or something like that. I don't know what the hell his name was. All right, welcome back here, folks, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we're also on Facebook, as I mentioned there, facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. And you can also join us at Twitter at PhilHendry, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And Margaret Gray is also on Twitter if you want to check her out. I think she was tweeting something. Margaret, what were you tweeting?
Well, I was tweeting about the, I forget. It was one of the films.
Oh, well, you check out Margaret. She's at twitter.com/MargaretGray, G-R-E-Y. Margaret, what have you got?
I've got this piece of information here. Now, I love both of these women. I think they're both phenomenal. I think they're both credits to our gender. They are credits to the profession of journalism. They are, excuse me. I'm sorry, but it was that coffee.
Yeah, why do you got to do that and everything?
Why do you have to do that?
I will not have my esophagus shredded by an explosive belch that I'm trying to hold in. It won't happen. Not gonna happen. Don't break the fourth wall and look for sympathy at the... Greta Van Susteren and Megyn Kelly were not afraid to call out their male colleagues at Fox News for comments made about families with female breadwinners. Listen to this. On his show Thursday, anchor Lou Dubs. Don't talk to me like I'm a fourth grader, Phil. I can't read that. What does it say?
Lou.
See, it looks like do.
Dubs.
That looks like lob. Do lob.
What, is it Vietnamese?
No, his name is Lou. What is up with you?
Oh, Lou Dubs. I've got it now. On his show Thursday, anchor Lou Dobbs highlighted a new study showing that 4 in 10 households now have female rather than male breadwinners. One of Dobbs's guests, Eric Erickson, called it anti-science and said women should not be competing for a dominant role in a family. Can you believe the ignoramus Jack Ball that said that?
That is pretty stupid.
Having moms as the primary breadwinner is bad for kids and bad for marriage, said this jackass, Erickson. Oh, my God.
Now, Eric Erickson, is he a guy that...
I think he's on a Fox News channel.
He is on a Fox News channel.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Margaret.
So, let's see. Shockingly, those comments didn't sit well with Van Susteren. They're being facetious. Of course they wouldn't. Who has made a career out of speaking her mind on TV. Have these men lost their minds and these are my colleagues? Oh, brother. Maybe I need to have a little chat with them, she wrote on her blog. Next thing, they'll have a segment to discuss eliminating women's right to vote. Then Megyn Kelly, who I think is absolutely adorable. She's her politics are, I guess to put it in a very crude way, Megyn Kelly's politics are up the butt, to use a phrase. But Megyn herself is just adorable. She went on one step further, and she invited Erickson on her show to scold him on air for his comments on the show. And in a recent blog post, I don't think I'm an emo liberal, and I don't describe myself as a feminist, but I will tell you I was offended by your piece nonetheless. I didn't like what you wrote one bit. I do think you're judging people. And if it came down to it, Eric, and you were the only man left on Earth, I would have sex with you in order to keep the race going. But I'd ride you like a horse, holding my nose for all of a minute and a half.
She didn't write that.
No, but she should have. She should have. Let me... You don't grab my copy.
Well, don't say something like that.
I would have were I her.
I'd ride you like a horse for a minute and a half holding my nose.
In other words, whatever was the requisite time to further the race, if they were the only two people left.
Yeah, but what I mean, a minute and a half.
That's probably about what the guy's worth. 1 minute and 30 seconds of good, hard bronco busting. I'm Margaret Gray.
Boy, I'll tell you, Margaret, for a woman that talks about how, you know, we're losing our values and my son's listening and there's his children listening, boy, you really get graphic.
Excuse me, it's after midnight, isn't it?
What I'm saying...
It's after midnight, isn't it? Jeez.
Yes, it is. All right, well, thank you very much for that. I can't say that I disagree with you in whole on the attitudes of... it's amazing to me, it really is amazing to me, I understand conservative politics. I get that, and I don't disagree with a lot of it, especially when it comes to certain aspects of our economy and national defense. I'm not an anti-conservative guy. I don't like a lot of the personalities in conservative politics, but then I don't like a lot of the personalities in liberal politics. But when you guys over on the conservative side of the football start in with this stuff about where women ought to be, I mean, get with it, will you? That is what got you beat this time out. It's what got you beat the last time out. I'm telling you, it's going to keep on getting the Republican Party. It's going to keep on getting its ass handed to it at every important election until you get a handle on where you guys want to be socially. These attitudes about women and gay people and all of that, you guys are you're way behind the ball. And you're never, ever, ever, ever going to capture the imagination, the vote, the sympathies of women, of minorities, all of these groups that you claim you can represent. You cannot represent them if you've got a guy, this guy Eric Erickson, this guy is a broadcaster. He's a reporter. And he's talking like a lummox. He's talking like a moron. He sounds like a guy, frankly, that sat down with somebody from the programming side of things and was trying to get some advice on how I should skew my pieces. It sounds to me like it's a calculated thing.
We're talking about he's doing that on purpose?
Yeah, he's just trying to get people to like him.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like he sat down and thought, I wonder what the science here is. What's the demographic? What should I be saying? And just absolutely destroyed whatever that input, whatever that feedback, whatever those focus groups or whatever that research might have told him. Okay, I'll take it all. I'll feed it through the old Eric Erickson, whatever the hell. And it comes out, it just comes out diarrhea.
Well, now you're talking. Now I agree with that. The rest of what you said, as I said, up the butt. Excuse my language.
Of course, Margaret. All right, now here's something else we could probably all agree on. Jesse Ventura. Now, I'm going to give you the lowdown on Jesse Ventura. I mean, I actually interviewed him. I don't like the guy. I think he's stupid. I think he's dangerously stupid. He said things concerning 9/11. And his grasp of historical quotes like Thomas Jefferson, the guy not only does he not have his facts straight, but he's a narcissist. And what that means is this. He doesn't care if he's wrong. He doesn't want to be shown up. Jesse the Body Ventura is exactly the character that he portrayed in the wrestling ring. He's a guy that is not interested in being, he's not interested in having a grasp on truth. He's only interested in being right. And even if he's wrong, the goal of this website is to get Jesse Ventura on the ballot for president in all 50 states. If we elect a guy like Jesse the Body Ventura, which we won't, the country is not that dumb. We deserve everything we get. And I'll tell you this. If you think Obama's an idiot and you vote for Ventura, now I'm not saying that's all of you guys. I'm not even saying that's a significant number. I'm saying that whoever is out there listening to me and you think Obama has got his head on backwards and you vote instead for Ventura, you're dumber than Obama. You're dumber than you think Obama is. In other words, you've just taken a step backward. Here's my solution. I don't like Obama. I'll vote for Ventura. You've just basically dropped off the edge of the earth. We the people, huh? That's what this guy, Ventura. Like I said, if we were ever to elect a guy like Jesse the Body Ventura, we would deserve everything we get, which would probably be plastic drapes and wax paper in outhouses.
What?
You heard me. We'll be right back.
Have you ever tried to wipe with... No, I'm agreeing with you. Have you ever tried to wipe with wax paper?
Not so as you'd notice.
What does that mean, not so as you'd notice?
Well, yeah, man, I'll tell you, if you try to wipe with wax paper, man, you'd remember it.
Word.
Word. All right, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back, folks. Margaret, why can't you hear that song?
I told you already why I can't hear that song, Phil. I told you. I told you that I can't hear the song because, first of all, I think it is tribal. This has nothing to do with Junior and my relationship with Junior. And, you know, that's very private.
Well, it might be private, but you're the one that said the Hooky Law was some dirty, filthy, tribal witch doctor dance.
I just remember the song, oh, we're going to... I try to sing it in a respectful way, and it always deteriorates in my mind because of the anger I have toward Junior. Oh,
my guy's name is Junior.
That's the name of Hawaiian men, okay? Oh, we're going to the Hooky Lau. Hooky, 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 you dirty cow.
So,
yeah, see, that's what happens.
Why don't you sing it like a good way?
I don't want to sing it a good way. It reminds me of that bastard, Junior. What is wrong with you people?
Margaret, whatever Junior did to you doesn't mean you have to butcher up a perfectly good song.
Oh, a perfectly good song. Why? Because little Philip Hendry sang it at kindergarten?
Well,
because little Philip Hendry sang, oh, we're going... And you know something, Phil? I'm very liberal, and I do believe in orientation from birth. But tonight, I am feeling so angry. You should be thankful to the Christian God that after you did the Hooky Lau as a little five-year-old boy, that you weren't switch-hitting.
Oh, man.
I don't believe she said that.
Well, I did.
So, in other words, I was supposed to go gay.
Did I say that? I simply said switch hit, so you can go back to the other side of the box.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's really great of you to say that.
Hold on. I'll try and do it respectfully. Junior, wherever you are, you know what you did. Anyway, oh, we're going to the Hooky Lau. Hooky, 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 hoo, your mom's a sow. See, I can't. And Junior, you're...
Well, you get Junior out of your system, okay?
Don't I wish?
Well, so Margaret Gray with a problem there with Junior.
Junior.
Yow! Don't you make fun of my love with Junior.
Junior. Where does he live?
Well, three guesses and the first two don't count. He lives in a shack on the North Shore, somewhere along that highway that circles around Oahu.
Okay, is it the North Shore?
I don't know. But he lives in a shack. It's very romantic. Every time we go to Hawaii, I tell Frank, let's rent a car. I want to drive around. I want to go up Junior's side of the island. Let's go run by Junior's. And Frank always thinks I'm saying something with double entendre. I said, no, I'm not. And then Frank will say, how about we take a run by Junior's? And I said, you know, Frank, I don't find that funny.
What does he mean by that?
Well, can I say?
Okay, I guess.
When Frank says, let's take a run by Junior's, he means let's do it back door.
What?
Never mind. I'm sorry I asked.
Well, you did ask.
So Frank, when he wants to do that, says, let's take a run by Junior's.
Yes. I thought you said you used to say...
Never mind what I used to say, okay? I think you need to get Junior out of your system, that's for sure.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, I'd love to, if you'd stop bringing up the hukilau and the fact that his mother...
What did you do with this guy? Did you hang out in Hawaii or something?
For two beautiful years, yes. I laid around on a beach. I would eat poi poi. I would help Junior's mother with the wash. I lived like a free beachcombing free spirit. And then, just as quickly, it all vanished. I woke up. I'd been dropped off at the end of a runway. I don't know how I got there, but I had on half of my clothes.
Margaret, I mean, that sounds violent.
No, I had a smile on my face. That's what they tell me.
Okay.
Don't give it the look.
All right. Two small planes collide in midair in Arizona. This is bad news. Two small planes from Phoenix area flight schools collided in midair and crashed in the Arizona desert north of the city on Friday, killing all four people. Oh, Lord. No one on the ground was injured. Four people deceased, said Captain Larry Nunez of the Phoenix Fire Department. Phoenix police identified the aircraft as a Piper Archer III from the Transpac Aviation Academy and a Cessna from the Westwind School of Aeronautics. How utterly macabre and I don't even know what the word is. I don't think it's ironic. It's more macabre that two flight schools teaching people how to fly, two different student pilots. I don't know if there were students at the controls at the time. There might have been instructors. I have no idea. But the strangeness of that, they run into each other and all aboard are dead. The identities of the two men aboard the Piper have been withheld pending notification of the families. The two occupants of the Cessna have yet to be identified. A pilot who witnessed the collision reported the accidents to authorities. According to Ian Gregor, the Federal Aviation Administration spokesman, an investigation by the NTSB is underway.
What's that?
The NTSB is the National Transportation and Safety Board.
What does the FAA do?
The FAA controls the flight paths of a commercial and private aircraft. The NTSB investigates accidents. And one of the things that we may not be aware of, do you know that up until the 1960s, we didn't have air traffic control covering the whole of the country, meaning there were large periods of time when aircraft would be out of touch with any air traffic control center. So that you could be taking off from LA International, you leave the LA air traffic control space, you may enter into another one, but then you get out over Arizona or you get out over parts of Nevada or New Mexico, and you have no contact at all with any air traffic control center. And this could last for up to an hour. And so we had these midair collisions back in the 50s of aircraft, and the only way we knew that something had happened is that they were overdue. They had not yet reported in. And then you had to send out search aircraft, and it was bizarre. You got to read up on it. There's a website called airdisasters.com. Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, that's what I want to do on a weekend.
Never mind. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, with assistance from my very good personal friend, Dan Northcraft. And don't forget, the Phil Hendry Show is online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We do encourage you to join us online there and get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video, listen to our archived audio, listen to our daily podcast, listen to our daily classic podcast, read our news feed, get into our webisodes, get into the Milwaukee Lions, get into all kind of thang there at philhendryshow.com. Until Monday night at 10, let that be a lesson to you.
Hendry.